Well, God bless everyone. The days are going by so fast. What's the date today? I think today's the 24th. One more month to Christmas. Amen. I know everyone's out there looking for that perfect gift, but I want to let you know what one of the perfect gifts are. And my wife was just talking to my daughter just a few days ago. And she said, you know what the perfect gift would be? Is to spend time with us. You know, time can be the most dearest gift because you can never get back time. Amen. So this Christmas, if there's someone that you haven't seen for a while, give them a call or go visit them if they're here on the island. But time is one of the greatest gifts that you can give to someone. Amen? So this morning, I got this other message from God. I notice when God gives me messages, it makes it so easy for me because he says, you know what? It's just going to be, just give them my word. So I think 75% or more of my message is just scripture. And what better thing that I can share with you is scripture. Because Pastor John told us, what is church? I want you to just, you don't have to answer, but what is church? And he said, it's not a place where I am fed. Everyone thinks that we come to church to be fed, which is true. It is true. But it's not a place where we are fed. And this is what the Holy Spirit gave me last week. It's a place where we come to eat together. Because if it's just a place that you come fed and you're not dining with others, you're just feeding yourself. But it's a place where we are fed. And that is the thing what we want to instill in the body is that we eat together. Whether it's food, it's great to eat food together, but it's even better to eat the spiritual food together. Amen? Amen. Amen. So it's how we know and grow together through God's word. Amen. You know, I just want to let you look at these boxes back here. You know, this is going to be the last year that Door of Faith is a distribution place where people come to drop their boxes off. But we're going to continue to do boxes. And thank you for all those. I'm not going to mention names because we don't do it to be recognized. But everyone knows who helped with these boxes. Everyone knows who's the ones that help with the distribution this whole week, every day. And right now we have a full Matson container out there with 3,500 in boxes in there and more in the room. But I want us to just stretch our hands. And I noticed that there are QR codes on our boxes. And I believe as I was talking to one of the representatives, we'll be able to find out where our boxes go, if I'm not mistaken. So isn't that so awesome? We've been doing this for 10 years. 10 years. And I do want to acknowledge two families that really made it possible. And if you're listening, Ke Kahuna family, thank you. We couldn't have done it without you. And also for Dick. Lord, anoint my mouth, please. Vic and Dana. We couldn't do it without them for 10 years. So when you think about it, and their family, yeah. And their families, and definitely we could. Think about it. That's about an average of over between 50,000 boxes or more that has come through our church that we got to be a part of, that we got to touch, and that it went out to those around the world. You know, we're so blessed here. We know what Christmas is like, you know, giving, receiving gifts. But there are millions of people on this world who don't even have that. And it's just an awesome feeling that we can be a part. So can we just all stretch our hands towards our boxes? You want to stretch your hand towards our massive container outside, but I just want to pray over these boxes and the 10 years that we were part of Operation Christmas Child. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this ministry of Samaritan's Purse, Lord, for Operation Christmas Child. How millions and millions of boxes go out to just make a child have a joyful Christmas, Lord. And we just thank you that we at the Door of Faith and those who have helped are had been a part of this miraculous ministry, Lord. And we will continue to be a part of this ministry. We just thank you for all the workers, all the volunteers, Lord. And we just thank you, give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. And I just want to share a little quote with you this morning. It's this quote says, success is on the same road as failure. But success is just a little further down the road. Amen. So today's message that I've entitled is just a little further. And I just thank God that for 10 years, we had many people go just a little further when it came to Operation Christmas Child. Amen. So I was just talking with someone last week. And this is how I got the message. God gave me this message to someone else. I was finishing our Saturday prayer. And I was talking to this person, and they told me that she was praying for something, and she went a little further, she told me, and the answer was there. And then she mentioned, how many times have people been just at the doorstep of that answer to prayer, but didn't go the extra mile, didn't go just a little further? And that answer took a lot longer than it should have. So today, I just want to encourage you why it's so important to go a little further for the Lord. Amen? And Jesus went a little further. In fact, he went all the way for each and every one of us. And this is what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. It says, verily, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, each and every one of us were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And throughout the songs today, we were singing just about what Christ did for us. We had a wonderful set of just showing what a wonderful, loving Father that we have to send his only begotten Son. So this morning, I just want to open up with prayer over God's message that he has prepared for me to share with you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this message that you want me to share with your people, Lord. I just thank you that we need to just go a little further. Just go the extra mile, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that just as you sent your only Son to die for us, he paid the ultimate sacrifice and went to that cross and died for each and every one of our sins. And on the third day, rose again. We just thank you for that victorious life that we now have through your Son. So how much more should we go that extra mile, just a little further for you? We just thank you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Amen. So this morning, my message comes from Matthew chapter 26. And this is, I'll be reading from the Amplified Version. But this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I just want to let you know just kind of like what transpired from him going to the garden. You know, he just finished being up over with his disciples, the Last Supper, and then now he's going to the garden where he's going to probably be the most travailing trial time that he's ever experienced. And I'm going to just share that with you. These are the scriptures. It's verses 36 to 45. It says, then Jesus with them came to a place called Gethsemane, which means oil press. And he told his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, he began to be grieved and greatly distressed. Then he said to them, My soul is deeply grieved so that I am almost dying of sorrow. Stay here and stay awake and keep watch with me. And after going a little further, he fell face down and prayed, saying, My father, if it is possible, that is consistent with your will, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, So you men could not stay awake and keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep actively watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, saying, My father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words once more. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Listen, the hour of my sacrifice is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. That's some powerful words, very descriptive. I want you to kind of just visualize what it looked like that night when Jesus was with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. As I was saying, from Jerusalem, they just had a time together. They just spent in the upper room, the Last Supper. And from there, they were walking on their path down to the Mount of Olives with his disciples where that Garden of Gethsemane is located. And I was looking at a map where the upper room was, where the garden is, where he got arrested, and where he got crucified. It's all like almost like it was within a mile radius of each other. So it's just, you can just imagine what Jesus is going through, knowing what he's about to experience. And I just mentioned that Gethsemane means olive press. It just so happened that the garden had a lot of olive trees within the garden. It's still there to this day. There's a lot of olive trees there. And what it means was the olives back in Jesus' days was used for oil. So they would gather all the olives and they would put it into this press, this big press, and they would put heavy stones on top of the olives that would crush the olives and draw out that oil that was placed into clay pots. But that oil was very useful for the people back then. And even for us, a lot of us use olive oil to cook with. It was used back then for lighting up the lamps. It was used for anointing the kings, the priests, and the prophets. It was used for cooking. It was used for healing. It was also used for, and this is so interesting, I know that is in cosmetics, and it was used also for hair and facial lotion. So it was really interesting when I found that out, but it was a very important thing what they had. So the same thing when you think about it, the way the olive was processed is the same way that depicts Jesus on the cross. Because just like the heavy rock that was placed upon the olives, that same heavy weight was placed upon Jesus' shoulders when he took on the sins of the world, crushing the life out of him, and then that precious blood that he spilled. So you got to imagine, the weight must have been so unimaginable. And when he died, he was placed into a tomb where a heavy stone was rolled over the entrance. Is it just how everything just comes together when you read the Bible? And another thing to think on is that cup you notice he says it like three times in that this cup that he's going to bear to drink. He says, Father, can this cup pass? Not my will, but your will. And he says it three times. So can you imagine the content in that cup? It must have been so great. And you know what that content in that cup was? That the reason why he's asking the Father, if it's your will, let it pass. But it wasn't his will, because he had to drink that cup. That cup contained our sins. Can you imagine how heavy, how nasty that stuff in the cup was that he had to drink from? Because even Jesus said, Lord, if it's not my will but your, let this cup pass. It was so heavy for him to take himself, but he was fully man but fully God. So he goes on to say that Jesus came to the garden and he had his 11 disciples. So he tells 8 of them to stay here and watch and pray while he takes his 3 most trusted and favorite disciples with him to go a little further. And that was Peter, James, and John. And when you think about these 3 disciples, they were like his favorite disciples. So you notice that there's a lot of times throughout the Bible that these 3 disciples are with Jesus. In fact, the very first 3 disciples that Jesus came across was Peter, James, and John. And it just so happened they're fishing at the lake of, let's see if I pronounce it right, Gennesaret. And he says something interesting to them that's it's almost similar to going a little further. When he meets them, he tells them, See, that's the enemy right there. He doesn't want to tell me what he's going to say. He says, go a little deeper. When he first met the 3 disciples, he tells them, go a little deeper. So he's telling us today that we need to go just a little bit further and just a little bit deeper. Amen? And it's so interesting, too, because also, Lord, help me here, Lord. See, the enemy, my screen just went blank. I apologize. There's something when you start sharing God's word, the enemy gets mad. And he's trying to do his best to try and let this get deleted out of my computer, my iPad, but I got it right. Okay, here we go. I got it back. I apologize. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Yeah, so I got to find my place. There we go. So now he leaves those 8 disciples behind. And then we ought to thank God for his grace when he allows us to stay behind and not to have to contend with some of the challenges of life that would be detrimental for us. Throughout the Bible, there are similar times where that happens, where people are left behind. And let me give you a couple of examples. And I'll give you the reason what it kind of means. When Abraham, you remember the story of Abraham, when he's taking his son Isaac to be sacrificed, he tells his servants that are with him to remain at the foothills of Moriah so that Isaac and I could go a little further to worship the Lord. But we know what he was going there. He was going there to sacrifice, but he told them to stay behind. And Moses did the same thing with Joshua. When he went up to get the law, he said, Joshua, stay behind while I go to receive the law. So there are many times that we feel that as if we are being left behind. But it is the grace of God in action that is shaping us into what he desires to bring out of us for our lives. So think of this. He's not leaving us behind. He's having us to stand guard, to watch and pray. You know what he was telling his 3 disciples, his 8 disciples. This is what it says in Luke chapter 21, verse 36. But he be always on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So that's what we are called to do, is to watch and pray. But just as there were the eight, there were the three that went with Jesus as Jesus went a little further. So I just want you to imagine what Jesus is going through. He knows what's about to happen. As he's going into the garden, just picture, he's telling Peter, James, okay, stay here while I go a little further. Today, I want to challenge you to go a little further and a little deeper and see what happens. See what happens. I tell you, you're going to find out that God's going to do great things in your life when you just go the extra mile for him. Whether it's in prayer, reading his word, sharing the gospel with others, be there for a family member, for a friend, and as even as my wife was saying this morning, for a stranger. How about even when it comes to paying our tithes? Because God tells us he's going to test us. How many of us have been put to the test with God? We go through a test, sometimes daily with him, but when it comes to our tithes, think about it. This is what he tells us in Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to store for it. Amen. And just the other day, we had a connect group with a bunch of men, and one of the men there was talking about a test that God is putting him through. And it's a test where he's saying that it's with his boss. His boss just gives him such a hard time. He says he just does everything what needs to be done, but he just gives us him such a hard time. So I told him, you know what? I truly believe God is putting you through a test to see if you are obedient. Because as most of you haven't been in our Bible study, but one of the things that we learned about authority, whoever God places in authority, whether he's saved or unsaved, God placed him there. So we need to be obedient to that authority. And what we've learned is when we're not obedient to the boss or to whoever we need to be obedient, who is above us, we're also being disobedient to God because God placed him there. So I told him, God's putting you through a test to see if you're going to go just a little further and show your boss that, you know, just do what is right, I told him, and just continue to just do what he tells you. And sometimes we don't like it, but he has to be obedient to his authority. Amen. So this morning, I want to point out three points to this message of Jesus in the garden. It's going to be the pain that he went through, the prayer, and the prevention. And what I want you to do is be able to associate this three points with our daily living. Amen. So we see the pain. Jesus, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus just finished his meal with the disciples. And now he's headed down to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he goes through his greatest travail before going to the cross. Because he knows he's going to the cross. He knows what's before him. That unbearable. We all seen the movie, a lot of us seen the Passion of the Christ. That really depicts kind of what Jesus went through. In fact, there's some points where I had a hard time watching it. And in fact, there's some points where I just started weeping, knowing that someone would go through all of this pain for me, for my sins. It was just so moving. But just imagine Christ in the garden, knowing what he's about to come about him, the beating, the piercing, the wounds, the humiliation, the disfigurement, the torture, the excruciating pain. All this is what he's anticipating. That's why he wanted those three disciples to, I believe he really wanted them to be there for him. While he went a little further, he wanted Peter, James, and John to also intercede. Because that's what we want too. When we pray, we want those also to help intercede for us, to give us strength to whatever we're going to. And that's, I believe, what Jesus wanted from Peter, James, and John. But what happened? They fell asleep. And now he's going through his, just think about what he's going through. He's going to be beaten. He's going to have a crown of thorns placed on his head. He's going to have his hands and feet nailed to a cross. But I believe the greatest pain that Jesus was going to experience when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt like his father abandoned him. But he didn't abandon him. He just couldn't look upon his son because he took upon the sins of the world. But can you imagine how Jesus felt, that spotless lamb up there on the cross, naked, bleeding, having felt abandoned from the Father. Just imagine, so all that while he's in the garden, knowing that within a few hours, he would die for the sins of the world. When you just think of all what Jesus endured, that should encourage us to go a little further during our times of difficulty and suffering. Because what we go upon this world cannot even comprehend of what he goes through. So how much more can we do, should we go a little further for him? You need to believe that God loves you unconditionally and sees your struggles as opportunities for him to show his love and grace for you. To understand that our problems may be a part of a larger plan that we cannot fully comprehend, but we need to just trust that God is working for our ultimate good. I know that's sometimes hard to trust him, to know that he's going to work for ultimate good because things seem so chaotic and such in chaos. But we need to know that he's working for ultimate good. So we cannot quit. We got to just continue to press on because we need to remember that quitters never win and winners never quit. Amen? So that's the first point. The second point is we see Jesus praying. And again, I want to touch on some of the same things I mentioned, that he left Peter, James, and John to go a little further. And Jesus began to wrestle with all those things that I was just talking about. And in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, it says that his disciples were left behind. But in the Gospel of Luke, it says that they were left behind to bear his sorrow. And also in the Gospel of Luke, because we know Luke was a doctor, and it says that Jesus prayed, but in Luke, it says that Jesus prayed and so intensely that his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. So can you imagine what he's going through? It must be so intense, because we've had intense prayers before, but it's so intense. The sins of the world is upon him, and his sweat was like drops of blood. And it would be Luke to say that out of all the Gospels. Luke was a doctor. And when I was looking, I wanted to see if that is something that can really happen. And when I was looking it up, there is a medical term that is called hematidrosis. Hematidrosis. I know I probably said it wrong, but what it is it says it's the excretion of blood to the sweat glands. So something like can happen, but can you imagine what that's like? For 3 1-hour intervals, every time he went 1 hour, he came back, they were sleepy. He went for three times. He poured out his heart to God. In fact, I think it's even in Luke where it said that an angel came to comfort him. Can you imagine how our Lord and Savior needed an angel to comfort him, the Holy One? It must have been such an unbearable weight upon him that he needed an angel to comfort him. But one thing he ends in each of those three prayers to the Father, he says, not my will, but your will be done. That's the same example that we, when we pray, need to say, not my will, but your will be done. Because so many times as we're praying and he's not answering, we say, why, God? I'm doing everything, so why aren't you answering? But when we say why, it's more of my will, not his will. But we got to remember, it's his will be done. And when we have that mentality to say, your will be done, every time we end our prayer time, we went with the Lord's Prayer, and it talks about our Father, hallowed be thy, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to have that same example that Jesus said to his Father, not my will, but your will. And when we start understanding that, we'll see his hands upon our situation, because the Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And when we continue to want it to be done our way, that's one way I believe that hinders our prayer life. But when we say your will be done and just trust in him, even though it may seem like he's not there, even though it may seem that you feel alone, know that it's his will. He's putting us to a test to see how we respond while we're waiting upon him. Amen. So when you think about it, I was reading, why would the disciples sleep? These are his three most trusted disciples. Why would they sleep in their Lord's most needed time for him, for them? Because you remember what Jesus tells them. He tells them, my soul is deeply grieved, so that I am almost dying of sorrow. Can you imagine if someone tells you that? My soul is deeply grieved. I'm almost dying of sorrow. So stay here and stay awake and keep watch with me. So I was looking, what would be the reason? There's all kinds of reasons why. But I was reading one, and there was this one person said that, and again, this is just some, it's not the Bible saying that, but I just wanted to, what kind of thing, why would they sleep? And I truly believe that It was the enemy that allowed them to sleep, because I believe this person said the Lord wanted the disciples to learn a lesson for the way Jesus prayed. He was, think of it, he's a spotless lamb. He's praying that this injustice is going to be done with him. But he had no sin. He had nothing wrong. But he's going to have to face this thing, this crucifixion. So the reason why the disciples slept was because the enemy didn't want them to learn from this way of praying. Because what they want to learn is we're praying because of the injustice that's going to be done to him, the wrong that was to be done to Jesus. But Jesus didn't feel, because we might feel, depressed from it. We might feel anger. We might feel like, how could this happen to me when I'm perfect? So the enemy didn't want the disciples to learn that type of prayer. Because so many times when we're praying, Lord, you know, help me, Lord, and whatnot. But Jesus wasn't praying that. He was praying that forgive them for what they're doing. Sometimes it's hard for us to say, Lord, forgive them for the wrong that they're going to do to me. So that's what this one person said. Oh, that's kind of interesting, but I just wanted to share that with you because when you think about it, he tells them that you may not fall into temptation. So similar to what happened to the disciples can happen in our own lives. We can desire God's will, but when it comes to pursue him deeply and pray earnestly, we succumb to distractions. And our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And we become like the disciples. We fall asleep. We allow the distractions to hinder what God wants to do. In our moment of heaviness in our heart, when we struggle between praying and wallowing in our miseries, I just feel for those people who just have a hard time to get out of their misery, just wallow in their miseries. And a lot of Christians struggle when it comes to praying. I was one of them. I had a hard time praying. You know, I even when it came to praying for a lengthy period of time, I felt 15 minutes was way too long. But I found out that I needed to just go a little further when it came to praying. As my wife was talking about this morning, we need to go a little further when it comes to praying for people. We need to go a little further in the duration of time that we pray. And we need to also go into our secret place when we pray. So my wife does that every morning. She wakes up early. I'm still sleepy. And she just goes into her secret place. Doesn't worry about any distractions from me. You know, I'm not there to talk with her or whatever. She's there in her secret place. And Jesus did the same thing. So there must, if our Savior did that, we should do the same when it comes to that. And that's why I just love our prayer sessions that we have here on Wednesdays, Tuesdays, and Saturdays. Because we get to just come around in the sanctuary, just into our secret place, and just pray to our Father. And let me share you some scriptures that shows how Jesus prayed. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, "But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to the Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you." And that's Matthew 6:6. And then in Matthew 14:23, it reads, "And after he had dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone." And in Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You see how even Jesus had to get away from the distractions, even get away from his disciples or whatever he had to get away from. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." And one of my favorite scriptures, I love this verse, is Hebrews 5, 7. It says, "While Jesus was here on earth, he offered up prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers This is Jesus now. You think God hears all his prayers, which he did. It says, but God heard his prayers because, this, now listen to this, because of his deep reverence for God. That's why God heard all of his son's prayers. He had a deep reverence. And our Bible study, we are studying about that, such a reverence. It's called the awe of God. I recommend, if come at 8:30, as my wife is saying, for that Bible study. And if not, get that book. It's by John Bevere. It talks about how to reverence God. And it's so important. And it just shows how important it is, because it says God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for him. That is one thing, and I thank God that our pastor makes it a point that we have all these prayer services. That's one thing that the enemy wants, is for prayer to be a lost art of the church. There's a lot of churches where they don't have special sessions to pray, special days of prayer, whatnot, where people come together. We must pray like never before. Like never before. You just see what's going around the world. I mean, we just came with a miraculous election, but there's so much more things that are happening that we need to pray more than ever before. If you go a little further with your prayers, one way you have to do is you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. If you're having a hard time praying, you got to get out of your comfort zone. What you need to do, you would have to stretch your daily routine to allow prayer to become a priority. Let me say that one more time. You would have to stretch your routine to allow prayer to become a priority. A priority. It's that important. That's one thing that the enemy, his greatest tool, and I always say this, that Satan's greatest tool is busyness. Because busyness, and we all got to be busy what we, the work we do, but we also got to be busy about our Father's work also. But that's one thing that we have to do. We got to get out of this comfort zone, this thing where we are, what we're so comfortable with, and make it a priority. And the only way that can happen is you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to take that first step. And sometimes that first step is the hardest step that you're going to make. That first step is so, there's many times, I have so much testimonies for myself, but how hard that first step was for me to take. It was, you think, oh, it's not that hard, just take a step. But it's so hard because of things that you are so set in your ways. But to just get out of your comfort zone, it takes a walk of faith, a step of faith. Amen. And finally, we see the prevention. So we saw the pain that Jesus went through. We saw the praying that he did. And now we'll see what the prevention, all that came about in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Going a little further is a preventative help. When we go a little further for the Lord, it can prevent us from succumbing to temptations. It can prevent us from going into the wrong direction that could hurt us. And most importantly, it can prevent us from walking away from the Lord. You know, the last one is a little hard to kind of swallow, but now more than ever, if you look at what's going on, there are more people walking away from the faith. You see so much, you see this mega pastor who's been pastoring for decades all of a sudden fall. What's going on? What's happening? It's so much things in this world. That's why it's so important that we begin to mirror the things that Jesus did to help us. So when we look at it, on the other hand, it helps us to prevent all this, but also, on the other hand, it helps us to stay focused. When we pray, it helps us to stay focused. It helps us to set a good example. It helps us to finish successfully. When we go a little further for the Lord and don't allow our flesh or weaknesses to make you quit or give up, you're going to see that God's going to do some amazing things. But we can't give up. We can't. Just because it seems like he's not answering. A day is like, the Bible says, a day to the Lord is like 1,000 days for us. We want the instantaneous answer. But sometimes he tells us, it's like a test. He says, you got to wait. You know, he's like, to me, I think he's waiting to see how we react while we wait upon him. Are we going to be a faithful child of the Lord, or are we going to be murmuring and complaining while we wait upon the Lord? Why are you taking so long? Why are you doing this? I'm doing all these good things for you. I truly believe that to go a little further for the Lord takes faith. So today, if you trust in him, when you trust in him, you are made right with the Lord. He calls that, when we put our trust in the Lord, we are being justified to our faith. And what is justified? Justified, the easiest way to know justified is, it means just if I never sin. That's what justification is all about. So when we put our trust in him, that is like the greatest thing that we can do when it comes to our prayer, is put our trust in him. Because why? Because Jesus took what we had, our sins, our burdens, our despairs, just to name a few, so that he could give us his peace, his joy, his happiness, his eternal life. Amen. So whatever situation you're in today, I'd like to invite you right now to decide to go a little further for him, even if it's just one step. What is the next step that you would take for Jesus? I want you to think, what is that next step you would take for him? And as I come to the end of my message, you may be someone who hasn't ever decided to follow Jesus before. Right now, you can decide to trust him with your life. Let him lead you one step at a time. If that's you, I would like you to come after I finish praying today, and I can walk you through the greatest decision that you can ever make. Or maybe you're someone who has already gone a long way in life following Jesus. If that's you, and I know there's a lot of you that fit that category, you can still go off a little further for him. Amen? This world, the one we live in every day, has so little to offer in comparison to what the world to come, but this world that we're in, it's not our home. That heavenly world seems so far away, but to the one that we live in and breathe in each and every day. So this Thanksgiving week, let's be thankful for Jesus going all the way for each and every one of us. We need to go a little further for him and see what happens. Amen. Can we all stand? Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this time that I can share your word with your people, Lord. That we need to get out of our comfort zones and take that first step and begin to just go a little further for you. For the answer is just around the corner. But Lord, as we put our trust in you, Lord, we just thank you for you are such a good father. And for each and every one of us, Lord, allow us to have the faith and trust that you would just want the very best for us. And I thank you, Lord. And help us as we walk each and every day to just begin to see the things that you want us to see, that you allow us to begin to see your love and begin to share that love with others. I just thank you, Lord. And as we walk out this door today, let us begin to go just a little further in our walk with you, Lord. Just as Jesus did in the garden. We just thank you for that example that he has set for us, Lord. For those doors that he has opened for us, Lord. As we walk through those doors, Lord, I know that your Holy Spirit will be with us. We just thank you, Lord. We just give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. Amen.